Welcome, everybody, to episode 479 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohort, Eric the Great. Breakman the Bold is on assignment this week. So, Eric, how was your week, man?
It was all right.
Just all right, huh? You sound down. Did you have a down week or what, man?
No, just snow again.
Yeah. Oh, snow. Yeah, we've been having like 70 degree weather here, like 65, 70 degrees. Although I've been sick this week, so.
And for all the idiots that don't understand how global warming and climate change work, if it gets hotter in one location, it gets colder in another.
Yep.
That's how weather displacement works.
Yep. No, that's true. All right, Eric. Well, let's go ahead and get started with the news. Get this show on the road, man.
All right. From RPG site, we've got Shin Megami Tensei 4 Double Hero Pack will be released in Japan on April 19th. This includes Shin Megami Tensei 4 and Shin Megami Tensei 4 Final, which is Apocalypse in the West.
Yep.
But it's going to be releasing it at a price of 4,980 yen. Doesn't sound like there's an LE, so it's just the two games.
That's surprising that they didn't do an LE.
I doubt they'll do something similar in the US, although I'm pretty sure the eShop will have a sale on both of these, so you can just pick both those up instead.
Yeah, which is fine. I think I'll pick those up eventually, especially if they go on sale. So I wish they would bring that over here, like in a physical double pack. That'd be really cool.
I don't know if it's two cartridges or is it just one cartridge with both games on it.
I'm guessing it probably is two. I wouldn't imagine
they'd be... Yeah, because I don't think they have a 3DS cartridge size large enough to contain both games.
Yeah. All right, next story comes to us.
I mean, it'd get close, but then they'd have to do some terrible compression to get it in there.
Yeah, let's
not.
Yeah, let's not do that. Next story comes to us from RPGsite.net. God Wars: The Complete Legend will be released in Japan on June 14th. I saw the video for this, Eric, and it looks pretty cool. I think it's more of a strategy game, isn't it? Like a light strategy RPG.
Yeah, it's tactics like, I guess.
Yeah, tactics like. But it's gonna include all the DLC that's been released so far, so that's pretty cool. It's gonna add.
I think we're getting it sometime later, like maybe the fall. Yeah.
All right, Eric, next story.
It should be noted, though, I think that the game isn't coming to the Switch in Japan. I think it's a US-Europe thing.
Okay.
Huh. But Japan's getting the Vita version.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah. All right. What do we got next, Eric?
Also from RPG site is Mutant Year Zero, Road to Eden, game by Funcom, which I'm trying to remember what else they did.
Funcom, that sounds familiar.
But it says it's a turn-based tactical adventure game based on the Mutant tabletop RPG by Swedish publisher Target Games.
Yeah.
The game will be developed by the Swedish developer The Bearded Ladies.
I like that. That's cool. I looked at the trailer. There's no real gameplay per se, but I don't know. I'd be down.
Anyways, this group is made up of people that made the Hitman and Payday games.
Ah, there you go. Ah, Payday. Payday's not a bad game. I heard when it first came out, it wasn't great, but they did some improvements on the sequel and stuff. But this game looks interesting.
Tactical adventure.
Yeah.
Sounds like XCOM.
I think that's a fair comparison. Characters look semi-interesting. Bunch of animalistic characters. Like there's a pig and a duck and a couple other characters. So I don't know. It looks semi-interesting. It's not something I probably would play per se. But for the tactical group out there, I'm sure you guys will find plenty to enjoy in this game. All right, next story comes to us from RPGsite.net as well. Tellier Marie Plus, The Alchemist of Salberg, announced for smartphones. So there's an Atelier game for smartphones coming up, guys. Selling in Japan.
It's a port, but Talia Marie originally released on PS1.
Yeah. I didn't know that. That's special bonus info. 1,200 yen, what does that roughly translate to, Eric?
Like, it's about, well, it'd probably be 15 here, but
$15? Damn. Yeah. It's expensive.
But if they're doing a mobile port, I wonder if it'll be localized. And I wonder if they springboard to like a Switch port at that point.
Probably. I wouldn't see why not. All right, Eric. Next story.
Next story. Wait, there's an update to this. It says it's available now on iOS. Look, in the Japanese part of the App Store.
Oh.
And the Google Play Store.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I just saw that.
And it says a 30% discount for like 8 days.
Yeah. So if you want to save,
you can get it for 820 yen instead.
Yeah. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
Next is Horizon Zero Dawn sells 7.6 million copies worldwide in its first year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I did not expect that game to sell as much as it did, but Horizon Zero Dawn is a great game. I've seen it in action. And it's something on my PlayStation list for
sure. It's probably Guerrilla Games' biggest success since
Killzone. Yeah. And by all accounts, a vastly superior game to Killzone. Looks like Wyland's in chat. What's up, Wyland? Let us know if you can hear us.
I can't remember if they did Skyfall or if that was a different developer or not.
Skyfall? The James Bond game?
No, not Skyfall. It was called something Fall, Shadowfall, maybe.
Shadowfall. I think
that
I know
was the what PS4 one they did.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Gorilla did that. Can you hear us, Wyland, in chat? Let us know if you can hear us. I didn't get a chance. Oh, you can. Okay, cool. Yeah. So 7.6 million, not too bad for Horizon Zero Dawn, a massive success.
I don't want to pick it up, but I'm kind of waiting for like a $20 sale.
Yeah,
for the complete edition.
I'm kind of waiting for that too. They have a complete edition now for $32 on the PlayStation Store. So,
well, I would have done that, but I decided to pick up the Switch version of the Resident Evil Revelations Collection.
Ah, gotcha. All right, Eric. Next story comes to us from RPGsite.net as well. 2064 read-only memories out for mobile on March 6th and Nintendo Switch on April 5th. So I just mentioned that. Nintendo Switch ports is a promise the developers kept after announcing it last June. As noted in the banner at the top of the post, it will be the integral version, which includes bonus content separate from the main game, including new voice scenes and better performance. So, yeah, there you go. That's pretty much the gist of it. Another Switch release. Kind of interesting, Eric. I saw kind of a comparison video of a game. I can't remember what the game was, but it was a comparison between, I think it was Payday 2. And it was comparing that game with the Switch and the Xbox and the PlayStation. And it held up fairly okay. Obviously, there's some benefits to playing it on the Xbox and PlayStation 4, but I don't know. I thought it was really interesting. I'm not a big Digital Foundry guy, but I found that Digital Foundry video pretty interesting. So,
Pretty much the only thing they're good for is helping you decide which version of a game to get.
Yeah. You hit the nail.
The only thing I'd wish they do is they look at like smaller games. They usually only look at the larger ones, though.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they take a look at indies, but yeah, I agree with you for the most part. All right, Eric, next story, please.
Next story is not even really a story. It's just something I wanted to mention. But the Alliance Alive and Yakuza 6 demos are out now.
Okay, there you go.
But one thing I did want to mention about Yakuza 6, I didn't have time to – I had to scramble to get news because I didn't do it earlier this week. But Yakuza 6 apparently had its prologue demo released, but Sony fucked up and accidentally gave the full game out.
Ooh.
So some people actually got to download the full game before they took it down and put it up the proper demo.
Ah, damn, that would have been a nice bonus.
Which is weird, because the demo is the full game. It just has all the content locked out up to a certain point.
Oh, shit, that's weird. All right, well, next story then, Eric, since you didn't really do a news story.
Chrono Trigger came out on Steam recently, and you can get the limited edition, but why the fuck would you want to buy it? Because I want to talk about this.
Okay.
But they released it on the Steam, pretty much a stealth release, a couple days ago, for $14.99, and it's a straight-up mobile port.
Oh,
like they didn't even bother changing the text and everything.
What?
It technically has gamepad support, but like you can't remap buttons, and there's still touch controls you have to use with the mouse instead.
Wee, that sounds
and
painful.
There's and like the mobile version has a horrible filtering job, and so despite the resolution increase. They didn't actually fix the problem with the game.
Ooh, yucko. Hopefully they'll patch that
sucker. It was crashing for people, of course it was.
Yuck. Yucko, yucko.
And it's like also $5 more than it is on the mobile right now.
Yeah.
So just get the DS one.
Yeah, the
sure,
DS
one
is good.
It might be like $40 somewhere, but it's better priced and it is just a more well-put-together product.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And you're paying $40 for the cartridge mainly at this point. Because that game retained its value pretty well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, that's kind of...
At least you can still buy cartridges of that game.
Yeah. That's kind of disappointing.
I think they actually did a couple of reprints.
Linear, I'm looking at the special edition. It says specially edited medley and linear line notes. I'm like, who the fuck wants that? Like, seriously, that's stupid. All right, maybe this will be a little bit better, Eric. This comes to us from RPG site.
PR lies, updated graphics and sound. Yeah, they updated it, but it's like the mobile version, but it still has like problems with like filtering, so it's not really.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to this story from RPGsite.net. Ghost of a Tale to be released on March 13th. This is fairly exciting. It looks cool. I saw the video, and I wouldn't mind giving this a go. Looks like kind of like a really well made. I don't know what. I guess it's an action RPG, but it looks more like a dungeon crawl action RPG. If I could use that, but it. I don't know. The graphics look pretty good on it, Eric. What do you think, Ghost of a Tale? You down for trying that out?
If you
out?
Can't play Moss on PSVR, you can play this, I guess.
Yeah, for sure, because I don't have VR, so this would probably be the next best thing, but it looks good. I'm looking at it right now, and it's every bit as good as when I first saw this video, so yeah.
The veteran of DreamWorks and Universal Studios.
Yeah, Ghost of a Tale is what they call it, so it's about a mouse, it looks like, so that's cool, sort of in the vein of... like a dark Fievel Goes West type of deal. So I'm down. Looks good. All right, Eric, what do we got next?
I got to look into probably requesting a review of this.
What, Final Fantasy 15?
No, this Ghost of the Tale, because it comes out soon. But I might wait for a console announcement, though, because I don't think my PC could be handling this game.
It's already coming out for the... Xbox. So, all right. What do we got next, Eric?
Okay, we got the Final Fantasy 15's getting another season pass, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're doing more post-launch content that will continue into 2019, so that's pretty much a season.
Yeah. I think this is interesting for that reason, Eric.
Like they just released a Royal Edition.
Yeah, I got that edition.
God,
I paid
Square.
I don't like that. Kind of pisses me off because I thought that was going to be like the ultimate edition of Final Fantasy 15.
If I haven't bought the season pass yet, do I have to buy two season passes or just one now?
That's a good question. I would assume you'd have to buy two, because all that extra content costs money to make. So I would assume you're going to have to buy.
Or they'll just make. Maybe they'll have like a couple of different SKUs. Maybe like they'll have the two separate and then they'll have one bundle. And then your bundle will probably be like $60.
I'm sure they'll have tons of bundles. They always do with these type of releases. I got that. I don't know if it was the Royal Edition, but it had every DLC.
But I can't get the PC version anyway, so screw that.
Yeah, I
could, but I couldn't play it. I played the fucking benchmark test. No, I can't handle it.
Yeah. I don't think it was the Royal Edition, but I bought the edition that had everything that came with it, so all the DLC and stuff, so for $30, and I thought that was a pretty good deal. So
the Royal just is pretty much just a physical release for those who haven't bought the season pass already.
Yeah. All right. I think that's the end of the news, right, Eric? We don't have any more news, so good.
We have a homie discount though.
Oh yeah, what's your homie discount, man?
PS Plus titles for next week.
Yeah, what do we got? This is exciting, actually.
We got Bloodborne, we got Bombing Busters, and we got Claire Extended Cut for PS4 and Vita, and Bombing Busters also PS4, PS Vita, and Legend of K for the PS3, not the PS4 version, weirdly enough.
What is that?
Okay, now there's rollover ads, and then there's shit like this that screws up my computer.
Yeah.
I couldn't read that, but Mighty Number 9 for PS3 and 4.
Yeah, I think the
and
big
Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, those are the two big ones, and I planned on buying Bloodborne and Ratchet and Clank. So
I don't know why it's doing this.
Just click out of that window, dude. but Bloodborne and Ratchet and Clank for free. Yeah, I'm totally down for that. But they're not on the store yet. When do they usually put those on, like the 5th or 6th?
The first full week of a month.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, so it'll be on, what, Monday?
Yeah.
Monday or Tuesday, but looking forward to downloading those titles. So
they always do updates on Tuesday.
Yeah. All right, well, Tuesday then. Get your free copy of Bloodborne. These
games come out, like, other times, but I think that's, like, the global update date.
Yeah.
Day of the week.
Yeah. Totally down for that. So, all right. No Twitter questions this week because break is on assignment. But what have you been playing, Eric?
I just played more Chaos Child. Nearly done with that. I got like one more character out plus the true out, and then I'll finally be able to write the review up. Cool. And I completed Secret of Mana's remake. I guess I can have a review of that, but I'm considering writing a review of that too.
Yeah.
Because I got a lot to say about that.
Ooh, sounds like you probably not good, from what I gathered.
No, mixed. Yeah.
All right, Eric, what else have you been playing? Anything else?
Story of Seasons, Trio of Towns, because I finished up Radiant Story, so I've been playing that at work instead.
Yeah. Cool.
I need to really sit down and really play it, though, so I can get it written for review.
Yeah. Anything else?
Because the game's already pretty old, and by the time I asked for review code for the DLC version,
yeah.
I had asked about getting a copy of the game so I could use the DLC. Yeah. And then it ended up being a case I couldn't use the DLC because they fucked up, and they weren't going to give out new code because they didn't have any.
Ah, gotcha.
So so I managed to get a code for the game at least, and then I bought the DLC.
Gotcha. All right.
I just have to play long enough so I can access it.
Yeah. All right. I played a little bit of Marvel Puzzle Quest, of course. Wolfenstein Old Blood this time. I might have that done. Although I'm finding Wolfenstein Old Blood to be a little more difficult than the first game, so that might take me a little bit to get that one done. I dabbled in Uncharted Drake's Fortune, the remaster. Looks great. It actually holds up fairly well.
It's still Uncharted, though.
Yeah, which is fine. I like the Uncharted games.
Drake's Fortune is not too...
No, it's not. It's Uncharted 1. But
let's not speak of 3.
Yeah, 3's okay. I didn't like the end of 3, but it's okay.
I hate the complete lack of motivations on the villains and the terrible writing.
Yeah, 3 was not the strongest of the 4, but...
Not to mention the set pieces were just ridiculous.
Yeah.
They got increasingly more and more insane.
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing.
I don't know. Sometimes I like that, though, over-the-top action type shit. But anyways, I've been playing that remaster. It's a beautiful remaster. It holds up pretty well. I was really, really surprised. You know something else that holds up pretty well is Red Dead Redemption. I played a little bit of Red Dead Redemption. That game, I think that's a great game, man. Like, I never did play it. But what I've been playing lately, it's shaping up to be a good one, man. I mean, it's got a few glitchy bugs.
Is there a PS4 remaster for that?
I don't know if there's a remaster for it on the PS4, but I got it on the Xbox One. And it runs it really well. So.
Were you playing the 360 version?
I bought one that said Xbox One at the top. It was like the complete edition.
Maybe there was. I just don't remember there being one. I don't remember being much fanfare for it.
There's not much fanfare for it, but I think it is the 360 version, Eric, but it's still a real pretty game. It looks like Freak5 Chaos is in chat. What's up, Freak5? He says, hello, Grinders, and he's fucking buffering, so he can't hear us. Maybe he can hear us now. And I also played Life is Strange. So I had a full complement of game to play this week.
The Life is Strange or Before the Storm?
Life is Strange. I don't have Before the Storm.
I have the PS4 version of that because I got off of Plus. So I haven't gotten around to playing it yet.
Yeah, it's good. It's got an interesting story. It's just kind of one of those point-and-click, quick-time event-type games. And I don't know. I'm having
Square put their ridiculous product placement in the movie by, or in yeah, it's basically a movie. Why not? In the game where they plug Final Fantasy: The Spirits Within, which is awful because they upsell it so hard. It's like this movie was not that good.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I kind of just started that game, but it seems fine. I like it so far. It's got an interesting story. And that's about everything that I have been playing this week. Do you have any reviews, Eric, that you want to get to?
I got a review of Secret of Mana Remake and DCU Batman Gotham by Gaslight.
Okay, go for it.
Which one do you want first?
Let's do Gotham by Gaslight. I think I did my review
this
of that
a period piece Batman movie. Where they put Batman in Victorian era, but it's in America, so not really Victorian, but close enough, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's weird because they're chasing Jack the Ripper, but he was a British serial killer.
Well, you gotta remember. You gotta remember this is like a it's just an alternative version. It's like a, what they call that, alternative universe. So there you go.
Yeah, but anyways, so it was kind of interesting seeing Batman just be a random vigilante and not have all of his gadgets because he's in the past.
Yeah.
I mean, he does have the hookshot, but that would be something that probably existed back then anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, like, practical. Like, I don't imagine anybody making something like that, but I can imagine it could be possible to be made.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But so it follows Jack the Ripper, and I can't spoil who it is, but let's just say it's somebody who you'd probably least suspect.
Okay.
But I actually have not finished the movie. I only got 13 minutes before the show started left of the movie, but so I saw most of it. But the one thing I didn't like about this movie is the fact that there's a character that they put in the movie that they really should have known business putting in if they were going to kill them off so quickly.
Yeah,
but I might as well tell you who that character is because they kill her off like within the first 5 minutes. But it's Poison Ivy / Pamela Isley because she's just a normal girl in this one.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that the way they did that, though, and I'm not going to spoil either, but, I mean, it's actually an impact.
Also, she's a teenager.
Yeah, it's kind of an impactful little part that she has, so I don't know. I liked it, but, yeah. Freak5 is saying, is Breakman still gone? Yeah, I think he might be back, Freak5, But you know how it is after you get back from
the
vacation.
Art style of this movie was kind of mixed. I was like, this could be better. I mean, I kind of like the closer to the animated series vibe it has, but at the same time, it's not drawn really well in some areas.
Yeah, animation in the United States is like way behind when it comes to stuff like that. Like,
it's weird. I mean, it's so behind that back in the animated series days, they hired Sunrise to do the animation.
But I don't know. I didn't have a problem.
Sunrise also did Ghostbusters opening, by the way.
Yeah. Freak 5 says he's still drunk from being on vacation. I'm guessing that's the case, Freak 5, for sure. But yeah, he's probably recovering from 2 weeks of sun and fun and of seeing Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago. That's where he went. I think that's what he was doing.
Anyways, Gotham Gaslight, it's a decent movie. I'm going to give it a 3. Or would that be like more like a 7, I guess.
Yeah, like a 6.5, 7. Freak 5 says he bought a couple of VR games off the PS Store because they were 80% off. That's the time to get those games.
But I'm really looking forward to those Batman Ninja.
Yeah, everybody's looking forward for that one, man. I'm totally looking forward to that. All right, you got another one?
Secret of Mana remake. Like it says, it's a remake of Secret of Mana, but it's kind of a mixed bag. I mean, it's not a bad game, but Square didn't even try with this one, it feels like. But there are quality of life improvements, but most of the game is kind of held back by the fact that it's a slavishly note-for-note remake of the original Secret of Mana, right down to how the game functions.
Wow. So basically, they just took the code and
and then they gave it a fresh coat of paint, which doesn't always work because they tried to make the game a little bit more cinematic in spots, but they didn't bother to animate the characters' mouth movements.
Ooh.
Which is sad because a lot of these characters are now very expressive.
Yeah. Well, I was going to tell you...
English voice acting is terrible.
I was going to tell you, Secret of Mana... You said that they basically didn't go all out with it. I can tell from the advertising budget. I've seen Secret of Mana.
Yeah, it's like Square, you should have given the company or the development team a lot more money for this.
Yeah, the thing about it was I just...
Or maybe it was a mistake to build it off top of the engine that was used for the mobile release of Adventures of Mana.
Yeah. Well, like I was saying, Eric, like even the advertising campaign with Secret of Mana, Square decided not to to put a lot of money into it. I've seen a lot of advertisements for it, but a lot of the advertisements were just very basic Secret of Mana like splash pages. There was nothing to the advertising. So I was pretty disappointed. So what are you giving Secret of Mana?
A lot of the music that's been rearranged is also pretty mixed. Like, for the most part, most of the tracks are actually pretty good. Some of them are better than the original. Some of them are just at least as good as the original, but with like modern instruments. Mm-hmm. Some of them don't make sense though. Like the music for the South Town and North Town themes has been updated, and now it's like missing notes and there's accordions and it doesn't sound good.
How weird. Let's see.
Like every other track is pretty decent, although some people might not like the new style that they give it because like a few of the tracks lacked there any real long-lasting melodies, and they pretty much loop pretty quickly, and they decided to expand on them, and some people might not like the style they decided to go with to give them those extra verses.
Well, then that's just being nitpicky,
most of the tracks are good, but and the game for the most part runs at 60 FPS, but I can't tell if it's bad frame pacing or the way the game loads data, because there are parts where like the game will stutter because it's loading input information. Because I guess the information in the game is streaming, which is a terrible idea, because I know it's a good way to save on processing power if you're working on a lower machine, which I think is a reason that another reason this game's held back is because this game also has a Vita release, which has really poor performance issues. Ooh. So it's like Maybe if they weren't held back by the constraints of the Vita, they could have worked and optimized PS4 and PC versions a little bit more so that there weren't hiccup hitches like this. But I give this game the original game had issues too, so it's like everything that the original had, this one also has. But I mean, there are quality of life improvements. Like now you can attack diagonally. You couldn't do that in the original. It was just four cardinal directions. Yeah. So that's an improvement. Another improvement is you can shortcut like items or magic spells to the L and R buttons. Unfortunately, you can't do it to the L2 and R2 buttons on the PS4 release.
Oh, that sucks.
They could have fixed that in there.
Yeah.
And the game has like some glitches which still aren't fixed, like the game will crash on you randomly. Thankfully, there is auto saving, so every like quote unquote room or section, the game still coded into the sectors, but like every quote unquote room you go into, it'll auto save. So if the game does crash, at least you won't lose too much data.
Yeah.
The only thing you gotta remember though is if you load a hard save, there's only two save files, by the way, other than the auto save slot. But if you accidentally load that and go into another room, your autosave gets overwritten, so just be careful.
Ooh, yeah. So what are you giving Secret of Mana, the remake?
I give the original 7.5. I give this a 6.
Ooh, a downgrade, huh? Even with the slight improvements. Wow. So is it worth picking up or waiting for a sale?
It's not worth $40, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. All right, let's see. I'm trying to get it caught up on the chat.
But if you're like one of those people who is so desperate to see Seiken Densetsu 3 released in English, maybe you should throw money at Square. Maybe they'll listen.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Well, they're probably going to do that anyways, but they don't have any plans to do a remake of that or an English release of the Seiken Densetsu collection, which would include a localization of the third game.
Yeah. All right, let me get caught up on chat here real quick. Creek5 says, one's a really cool dungeon crawl, speaking of his VR games. Wyland says, thinking about getting Monster Hunter World. Get it, man. I'm planning on getting that one, too. And he said he bought Coco. He needs to watch that this weekend. I still haven't seen Coco. I'd like to see it, though. I heard really, really good things about it.
Redbox has it right now.
What, Coco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you don't have enough money to buy the movie like Johnny does.
Freak5 says, the VR X-Wing mission in Battlefront 1 is awesome. They need to make a game that is nothing but X-Wing missions. That would be cool. He said he would love an action RPG MMO designed for use with the VR. MMO, I'm good. Oh, Dungeon Busters in chat. What's up, Dungeon? Dungeon says Coco's really good and Monster Hunter World is super fun. So you would go 2 for 2 according to Dungeon, Wyland. So there you go. Let's see. Freak5 says his new job has him packing prescriptions that are shipped to about 300 pharmacies in Iowa and 7 surrounding states. Some of his work today will be helping people poop. So he's selling laxatives.
Yeah.
And he bought the steelbook of Coco.
Does Freak5 make the medicine?
I'm sure he does.
or does he just ship it?
Yeah, he ships it, but I'm guessing he put like extra in there. So, you know, I'm saying he like
put ecstasy into the
Yeah, he put ecstasy in there. let's see. Dungeon says I still hop into MHW from time to time for the special events. They have a Horizon Dawn collaboration going on now, a quest to get a Wiggler head. Oh, that's cool. I did hear that you could play as Aloy. I think that's the name of that chick in Horizon Dawn, Zero Dawn. But I still have yet to pick up that game. We talked about it earlier, Dungeon. I need to get Horizon Zero Dawn. Looks really good. I'm totally down for that. All right, let's move on to my review, Eric. I can't tell you how much I enjoy this movie. The movie is called Beaster Day. And as you can tell from the title,
Easter.
It's about an Easter bunny, but a super giant Easter bunny that looks like somebody is like trying to like puppeteer I guess is the best way that I can put it.
So it's like a leprechaun but Easter Bunny.
Yeah, but it was. you want to talk about a B movie that you could just sit and laugh at and don't care about the plot or anything? It is.
Is it up there with Killer Clowns?
It's Killer Clowns. A good movie, dude. This is different. This is like B movie schlock. This is like it's like I can't even describe to you how bad. Like the cover to this movie is like 100% better than anything in the movie, because at least on the cover you got like this really wicked looking, you know, Easter Bunny with the red eye, looks like Kick-Ass. You're not going to get that in the movie. You're going to get
the Beaster Bunny versus Sharknado.
Oh, dude, if they did Beaster Bunny versus Sharknado, that would be probably one of the greatest movies ever made. I can't think of anything that would be better than that. So yeah, that would be hot, man. Let's see. Dungeon Buster says they had a previous Horizon Dawn collaboration to turn your Palico into a robot, apparently. So that's cool. They must be working real close with those guys. We talked about the success of Horizon Zero Dawn. But Beaster Day, I mean, the plot is giant bunny stalks a town. That's the gist of it. And the bunny just, I mean, there's like these wicked cuts at like edits where one second you're looking at the Easter Bunny thing and you're not, I was in disbelief the whole movie looking at it. But they would cut to like, you know,
they should have just made it a stuffed rabbit that kills people. Like,
oh my God. No, dude,
like the Holy Grail.
Dude, this is a B movie, dude. I'm giving this movie a solid 10 out of 10, man. Like it is, it's something to behold, man. I saw it on a whim, man. We were, Bridget and I
something
were,
you could like rent from a Redbox or something.
I think you can get it from Redbox. I think I have seen it in the Redbox. So yeah, you can feel free to rent that one, man. It's worth every penny and more. It's easily a 10 out of 10 B movie, man. I highly recommend watching it, especially if
also,
you want to laugh.
I think Minions used to be on Netflix, but it's not there anymore.
Which one?
Minions.
Oh, yeah. No, I haven't seen that.
I tried looking for it because I want to watch it for review for today. I was like, no, I'll go with Batman.
Oh, Bridget wants me to mention, Bridget's in chat. She says she wants me to mention how she got her ass kicked at Mortal Kombat. So, yeah, I did kick her ass at Mortal Kombat. I think we played four matches and she actually won one and she thought she was like the shit. She was like all happy and dancing. And then I proceeded to kick the shit out of her in the other matches. It's because she picked, okay, I got Mortal Kombat XL, right? And I had never played it before. Really. I haven't really messed around with Mortal Kombat, but, you know, the new characters are, it takes some getting used to, but she picked Leatherface right away, her favorite character. And Leatherface has like the reach of like fucking Godzilla.
Like, I forgot he was in that game.
Yeah, Leatherface is fucking crazy.
I thought they were like guest characters.
No. They're in the game, dude. They're DLC. You can get them. If you get the XL version, you get all the downloadable content, which at first I did not get the DLC, but you know, Alien's a good character in there too. Alien Predator, I like playing Alien. I still have to figure him out. Counters, what are counters? Wiley, he says better counter with Alien. What are counters? Like, I don't even between me and Bridget,
are you playing the game on the Xbox or are you playing it on the PS4?
PS4. Definitely playing it on the PS4. Weiland says that effort has reach. Yeah, I mean, more than half the fucking screen, I'm getting like pulled in and chainsawed, and I'm like, what the fuck this, man? I can't lose to Bridget of all people. How dare you? Yeah, she's laughing. I should have gotten Friday the 13th. Yeah, dude, I didn't have enough money, man. I never have enough money. And the sales, man, the sales. I couldn't pass it up. XL. XL was only 10 bucks with all the DLC, dude. So, I mean, you know, and that's all
is
I
this
had
like,
anyways.
Is this chainsaw really that big or something?
His chainsaw, it's not only big, but it literally, like, you could grab somebody more than halfway across the screen. No joke.
Is it like
man.
Cloud's Buster Sword big?
Yeah, it's yeah, that's a good description, man, for sure. If you don't have XL and don't buy the DLC, sometimes they have events to let you use them. Yeah, but I just got XL, man. I mean, 10 bucks for XL, I couldn't pass it up, so there. But yeah, that was fun. Yeah, I totally forgot to put that I was playing a little bit of Mortal Kombat, but yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I took Bridget to task on that game. I had to show her who's boss. But anyways, so yeah, Beaster Day, 10 out of 10. Eric, you're Stinko this week if you have one.
Don't really have one.
I have a kind of a quick one, and you know I'm always on the political side of
well,
things.
Well, I mean, I guess I mentioned it earlier, but like the Chrono Trigger Fallout.
Yeah, yeah. Freak 5 says he wants to give out more hand jobs. Apparently, his hand job given last week worked really well for him, so he wants to give out more hand jobs. So there you go. What do you charge it nowadays, Freak 5? I think you said last week $5 or something. All right. My stinko this week, is the tariffs that, Trump placed on imports of steel. Like, is he literally stuck in the 50s? I thought about this, Eric. Like, I honestly think Trump is like a lot of older people. They're still stuck in the past. Like those people that want to leave like 50 cents tips or a dollar tips on the table after they get done eating. Like we live in the year 2018. We don't live in 1950s anymore. Those type of tips used to be big back in the day, but nowadays that's like nothing. That's like insulting. So putting a tariff is putting us back in 1950s. He like back in the day when steel was like a big industry here and stuff like that. So the only people that he's hurting is our closest allies, like Canada.
Is he trying to make up for the fact that he can't make money on coal anymore?
Yeah, that's how it is, dude. Like there's no money to be made in coal. There's not a lot of money to be made in steel anymore because there's so many different forms of you know, alloys that people use. So I don't know. I think he's just
don't we usually use titanium now and tungsten?
Yeah, titanium and other alloys, nickel. I mean, there's so many other things other than steel that can be used for the same purposes. I don't even think the auto industry uses a ton of steel anymore. So I don't know, man. It's just a real weird thing for him to do. And then there's talk of him doing something with gun control, which, yeah, that's pie in the sky. That ain't happening. So
also wanting to investigate a rating system. We already fucking have one for video games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's fuck that. That's ridiculous. Let's see. Frank's old. He leaves nickel tips. How dare you, Freak 5? I'm a good tipper. I hate when people leave like nowadays.
I don't go to enough places where giving tips would make sense.
Yeah, well, I mean, any place that you go where you get served that accept tips, you should always tip. I mean, at the very least, like 20% if you get good service.
Like
that,
$5 if it's like, I don't know.
No, like, maybe $4 on a $20 tab. Like, you know, 20%, like that's just kind of standard. But man, people that leave less than that, man, I have to wonder.
Well, depending on how much money I have, I probably have done that in the past.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you don't have money, that's one thing. But if you're purposely leaving, like, less than...
If you're rich, then there's no reason for you to not give generous tips.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, unless you're getting...
And there's some rich
service.
Motherfuckers that tried to leave an IOU.
Oh, yeah,
I've read
fuck
stories
that.
Like that.
Yeah, I've read those stories, too. That's ridiculous. You know, and like Like, if you get shitty service, even 10%, you know, because you're, I mean, I don't know. I'm different, I guess, when it comes
to. I don't know. It took me so long to get my food at fucking Applebee's one time. I was like, no, I'm not tipping you at all.
Well, you gotta tip something.
They completely forgot about me.
Yeah, either they forgot about you or maybe the chefs didn't prepare it in time, but yeah. But I don't know, man. I leave tips, like, regardless, even if I get shitty service. It just, you know, depends on how much money I give, I guess, with service. But that's my stinko, just the stupid tariffs that Trump
put on. I only went to that Applebee's so I could try out their dessert. Because yeah. it was the only – I don't know if they even still sell it, but it was, like, for this brownie stuff that Mary Young actually told me about. Huh. But they didn't. They for whatever reason, took it off the menu at most of the locations around here.
Hmm. Freak5 says, did you see this week's X-Files? I have not been keeping up with X-Files, Freak5. I haven't seen the latest on it. He says Applebee's bread pudding.
Yeah,
is awesome.
It wasn't bread pudding, though.
Yeah. I like.
I tried bread pudding, and I was like, no.
I like bread pudding, okay. It's okay. Let's see. He needs to watch. Oh yeah. Dungeon Buster said he needs says he needs to watch X-Files too. Applebee's. Which one has the maple blondie? That thing is my
favorite.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
Oh god, that thing is so good.
Yeah, that's like not sold at the Applebee's around here for whatever
reason. That
sucks.
Yeah, apple blondie was, man, that was really good. It's about the best thing going there. Let's see. Have been great. Oh wow. So this week's episode of X-Files has been pretty good, apparently, according to Freak5. So what about your Sweeto? You have a Sweeto, Eric?
A couple of stuff came in I can't talk about.
Oh, okay. Embargoed?
Yeah.
All right. I have a Sweeto this week, Eric. And I'm naming this one Superhero Adventures. This is good. You know, last week we had, what was last week? Last week was
Edible Adventures.
Edible Adventures with Bridget.
Is there Edible Superhero Adventures, though?
No, this is not even, it doesn't even include any edibles this week. What it does include is superheroes, and specifically the names of superheroes. So we're watching Civil War, right? And, you know, Bridget is like, just starting to like dabble into these movies and get kind of acclimated with all the superheroes, and she, you know, she's trying to learn the names. She's laughing already. She's trying to learn the names of all the superheroes. So every once in a while, she tells me that's so and so and that's so and so, and I'm like, yeah or no, that's, you know, whoever, you know, she calls out, but she renamed some of the superheroes. And these are classic. All right, you know the superhero Hawkeye, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what his new name is? His new name is Hawk Guy. Hawk Guy, not Hawkeye. Hawk Guy.
It's,
you know,
the cousin of Birdman.
Yeah, you know that Hawk Guy. Yeah. So that's one of them. And let's see, what else do we have? We have Bucky Barnes. Bucky Barnes, the sidekick to Captain America, who eventually becomes the Winter Soldier. He is now, forever now, going to be known as Dickie Barnes. Yep, Dickie.
That's a much better name, actually.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Totally better. So we're sitting there.
My name is Bucky anyway.
Yeah, she okay, so Bucky comes on the screen, right? And I could see the wheels turning in Bridget's head, and she's like, what was that guy's name again? Dickie Barnes? Yeah, it totally, Dickie Barnes. That you got it. Dickie. So from now on, Bucky Barnes is Dickie Barnes. And here's the ultimate one. All right, you know the Scarlet Witch, right? She's got these really cool super...
Scarlet Itch.
No. Oh, man. No. Eric, hers is better. Trust me. That's pretty funny. But this one takes the cake, man. So, did you know that the Scarlet Witch has the power of garlic? She is now known as the Garlic Witch. Yep. The garlic witch. I
mean, she has the power to, like, pretty much alter reality, so garlic could be one of her powers.
Well, no, she opens her mouth and, like, the garlic just spreads and, like, kills her enemies, man. That's the garlic witch for you. So, yeah.
Isn't that Wario's power, though?
That is, I think, of all the renaming of superheroes, the garlic witch has to be my favorite, man. In Bridget's world, the Scarlet Witch is the garlic witch. Oh, man. Yeah. So the garlic witch, which is probably going to be the name of this episode. But anyways, so that's my stink or my sweeto of the week.
Watch that come back next week when we hear that there's a Piter Man now.
A Piter Man? Yeah.
No, or Pinder Man. Sorry.
Pinder Man? Yeah. Yeah, or pine salt.
Throws pine cones at you.
Oh, he throws pine coals at you. That's awesome. The garlic witch is definitely Bridget's favorite. She says so. Yeah.
Freak Five witch. Says my daughter calls Hawkeye hot guy.
Hot guy. Well, you know, a lot of women think Jeremy Renner's, you know, good looking. So I could see that. Yeah, but so that's hype.
Breakman is Pinter Man. Oh yeah, there we go. Breakman is Pinter Man.
How dare you? He can't defend himself.
He's got alcohol in his blood.
How dare you? He's not even here to defend himself. He's probably still in Florida, just basking in Mar-a-Lago in the orange sun that is Mar-a-Lago. All right, Eric, let's move on. No lulls this week, but I have something fun for us to do. I have not seen all the Oscar nominated movies, but I thought it'd be fun if you and I would go through and decide who's going to win this year's Oscars by category. So you ready to make your pick, Eric?
Fuck the Oscars. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, we're going to go down.
I think they already snubbed Get Out by the Academy.
Hold on. We're going to get to it. I'm going to go through these categories, and I'm going to name you the nominees, and we're going to pick who we think is going to win the Oscar for these categories. So the first category I got, Eric, is Best Visual Effects. Now, this is really interesting. It has Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Kong, Skull Island, Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 2. I think that's the only category Guardians was involved in this year. War for the Planet of the Apes and Blade Runner 2049. So of those five movies, which one do you think is going to get?
Technically, some of these movies were from last year, but I think they're counting fiscal year. So
they're all last year's movies. I mean, when they do the Oscars, they do them for the year previous, Eric. So which of these do you think is going to win Best Visual Effects? Beer Piss, Freak Five. How dare you?
I'm probably going to have to say maybe Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. All
it's
of these...
It's space-related, and that stuff's pretty technical when you get into space stuff.
Yeah. Freak Five says he hasn't seen Blade Runner yet. He's guessing either Kong or Guardian. I have actually... This is one of the categories where I've seen every movie. And I'm going to go...
Blade Runner is too, like, grayscale.
No, it had great special effects. But if I was to put money on all of these, it's going to actually surprise some people. I'm going to pick War for the Planet of the Apes for best visual
effects.
Yeah,
I thought that too, and I was like, we didn't really see much of the background in that movie.
No, dude, I'm telling you, the special effects on War for the Planet of the Apes were
great.
But,
like, I think the Avalanche scene is probably the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
Visually. Yes.
Weiland says Blade Runner, and Dungeon Buster says he wants Blade Runner to win. So definitely a slant towards Blade Runner as far as chat goes. But I'm picking War for the Planet of the Apes, and you're picking Guardians of the Galaxy. So all of those movies are definitely well worth the award, so I will not be upset.
Because, like, the only knock I could put against the War for the Planet of the Apes is the apes still are a little unnatural looking.
I think they looked as good as you can get, man. I mean, I really was impressed with those effects. But I wouldn't be upset if any of these wins it. They all are definitely worthy of best visual effects. So I'm actually happy with the nominees this year. So let's move on to our next category. Let's see, what do we got? Best cinematography. This is interesting. I'm kind of a cinematography guy, so I might take the lead on this, Eric. But our
see, I give that to Planet of the Apes instead.
Well, that it wasn't nominated. Let me tell you what's nominated, Eric. Mudbound was nominated for Best Cinematography. Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Blade Runner 2049, and The Shape of Water.
I'd say Dunkirk. That's probably more likely to happen than The Shape of Water.
I went back and forth. I have not seen Shape of Water, but
just that movie does look good, but yeah. It's one, it's new, and two, it's not historical. And I know the Oscars gets like their wiener is hard when it comes to history stuff. So
now, see, this is a category that I probably would lean in Blade Runner's favor. For best cinematography, I'm not picking Blade Runner. I'm picking Dunkirk because of that X factor of it being a historical movie, Eric, like you said. But I want Blade Runner to win because I think
I want Shape of the Water to win, though.
From what I've seen, Blade Runner cinematography was on point, man. I like I said, I haven't seen Shape of Water, but it looks good from everything that I've seen. But yeah. For sure, I would not be upset if either Dunkirk, Blade Runner, or Shape of Water won Best Cinematography. I will be upset if the other ones win. They have no business being in here for cinematography.
Is Shape of Water out on DVD yet?
If not, it's really close. So, let's see, what else? Best Original Screenplay. This is interesting. Shape of Water, Guillermo del Toro and Vanessa Taylor.
Definitely go for that one.
Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Martin McDonagh.
I don't even think I heard that one this year.
I have heard of it. I have not seen it. I heard it's really good, though. Get Out, Jordan Peele. The Big Sick, Kumail Nanjiani and Emily B. Gordon. If you guys haven't seen The Big Sick, I highly recommend it. It's a great movie. And Lady Bird, Greta Gerwig. This is going to be – this one right here is probably going to be the hardest one out of all the categories.
Did you see
this
The
year.
Big Sick? I'm kind of interested in it.
The Big Sick is excellent. I've seen The Big Sick. I saw Get Out. I haven't seen the other ones, as I mentioned. I haven't seen Shape of Water yet.
I didn't think I heard the Mud one either.
I'm leaning towards Get Out. But I would not be surprised if The Big Sick won for Best Original Screenplay.
Get Out isn't that original a story, but it's a well-done one.
Original screenplay? It is. It's a really good original screenplay.
No,
because
it's basically a brain swap thing.
It's not based on any other property, Eric. That's why they put it in the Best Original Screenplay category. Mm-hmm. If it was like a remake of The Thing
I'm
or
just
something.
Going by terms of like originality.
That's not what this category is about. It's just about original screenplay. In the lead, I mean, it's really close, but I'm going to give it to Get Out, but I would not be surprised if The Big Sick wins, and it's well deserved.
Johnny Wu faces March 13th is the Shape of Water's release date.
Okay. Right on. Thanks, Wyland. Appreciate that. 3:13. I need to watch it. I've been wanting to watch Shape of Water forever. Like it, I heard nothing but great, great things. So, Get Out is definitely deserving of this original screenplay. But I mean, it's the whole. Is the Academy gonna give it to a black person over someone else?
Well, they won't because they're fucking racist.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next. Category, Best Animated Feature Film. I have not seen any of these, but the nominees are Loving Vincent, Ferdinand, The Boss Baby. Oh, I saw The Boss Baby. Yeah, The Boss Baby should not even be involved in this.
I wanted to see The Breadwinner, but I don't think it ever played around here.
The Breadwinner and Coco. Based on my limited knowledge,
it sucks that anime doesn't get any nominations ever.
Yeah, I know. It does suck. I totally agree with you. Actually, they do get nominated every once in a while, Eric, but it...
Yeah, but like once in a blue moon. Wow. Yeah. Not nearly enough.
They should have a best foreign animated feature film, category. That probably would remedy that. But anyways... my pick is going to be Coco, but I wouldn't be surprised
Coco probably won't win, though.
I hope it does. I mean, everything I've read about Coco.
We'll give it the boss, maybe, because fucking academies.
Well, maybe, folks. But I'm leaning either towards Coco or Ferdinand. Ferdinand was a good animated movie as well.
I never saw that. It just kind of looked like a cheap knockoff.
It's a good movie, man. Ferdinand's actually a pretty surprising good movie. I was surprised, but
DreamWorks barely impresses me these days.
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says Coco's really good, but it's also the only animated feature in that category he saw. Fair enough. I have not even seen Coco yet, but I'm leaning towards Coco, but I wouldn't be surprised if Ferdinand wins it. The Boss Baby has zero chance of winning that. You heard it here first. All right, let's move on to Best Original Music
Score. If your name was on there, I'd probably give it that.
Okay. Best Original Music Score. The nominees are Star Wars, Last Jedi, Shape of Water, Dunkirk, Phantom Thread, whatever that is, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. My pick in this category is going to go to John Williams. I think John Williams has already won an Oscar for his work on the Star Wars, but if they didn't, he's almost a lock to get this. Dunkirk, though, has a fantastic original score. If you haven't watched that movie, I would suggest
that movie's mostly ambience. So
no, that movie's good, man. Dunkirk is a really good movie. So yeah, I would pick Star Wars in this category. I wouldn't be surprised if Dunkirk or even something like Shape of Water won this category. What are your pick? What's your pick, Eric?
I'm gonna go with Star Wars.
Okay, both on the Star Wars bandwagon there. Let's see. Let's do Best Director. This is an interesting lineup of people, Eric. I'm going to go through them and then we'll discuss.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the one that I'm looking at the most. At the top is Guillermo del Toro for Shape of Water, Jordan Peele for Get Out, Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird, Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk, and Paul Thomas Anderson for Phantom Thread, which I've never even heard of. But so my pick, this is... I go back and forth between Jordan
Peele. Nolan's kind of overrated, even though Dunkirk was a good movie.
I don't think he's overrated. And I'd like
Jordan Peele to get it, but he probably won't because it's the Academy we're talking about. So
I'm hoping that either Guillermo del Toro or Jordan Peele gets it, especially Jordan Peele, because I think without seeing Shape of Water, I know that Guillermo del Toro did a good job with that movie just based on everything that I've read.
I don't even know who Greta Gerwig is, but Lady Bird was well directed.
Yeah. And I
feel like a badly directed movie.
No, all of these
just didn't resonate with me as much as it could have.
Yeah, I like Dunkirk quite a bit.
I don't live in Sacramento.
I don't think Dunkirk is Christopher Nolan's best directorial work. I think that was probably in the Batman series or maybe even something like Inception. But my pick is I got to give it to Jordan Peele. I wouldn't be surprised if Guillermo del Toro won Best Director. And I would be happy either way if del Toro or Peele won this category. I would not be super disappointed if Greta Gerwig won it for Lady Bird. I've heard nothing but good things about Lady Bird. So Dungeon Buster says Phantom Thread is Daniel Day-Lewis' last film? Oh, is that his last movie ever? I don't know. But yeah, my pick is Jordan Peele. I hope he gets it. I think it would set a very good precedent, but I would not be upset if Del Toro or...
How often Gerwig do won. Female directors get
awards? They broke the barrier. I think, what was it, the year before that, Kathryn Bigelow won for The Hurt Locker a few years ago. There's been a few directors...
I never saw that movie.
I'm actually kind of surprised.
At the same time, it's like... It's also, you know, Iraq war shit.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised that Patty Jenkins wasn't nominated for Best Director for Wonder Woman. I can't think of a better directed movie other than Get Out, maybe, and probably Shape of Water. I haven't seen it, so I can't say for sure. But, Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if any of those won. I would be surprised if Christopher Nolan won or Paul Thomas Anderson won that category. So let's move on to a different category here. Best Supporting Actress. We got Leslie Manville from Phantom Thread, Allison Janney from I, Tonya. That's the Tonya Harding film. Starring Margot Robbie, and I can't remember who else was in that movie. Allison Janney, apparently. Who's a very underrated actress, Allison Janney. She's a really good actress. Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird. Mary J. Blige for Mudbound. Octavia Spencer for The Shape of Water. I'm going to go... again, I haven't seen any of these movies, but if I were to make an educated guess... I'm going to give it to Octavia Spencer for The Shape of Water.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that would be a sound choice.
I can't remember if Laurie Metcalf was supposed to be the girl's friend.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know. I haven't seen other stuff she's in, so I can't really gauge that.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to Best Supporting Actor, Eric. We got Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Woody Harrelson, also for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Christopher Plummer, All the Money in the World. Willem Dafoe for The Florida Project, which I have not seen. And Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water. Richard Jenkins is...
I haven't seen any of these movies other than The Shape of Water, so I'm just voting for Shape of Water.
Okay, Richard Jenkins is a lifelong character actor. He's been in a ton of movies, way too many to pick here. But, for my outside pick, I want Sam Rockwell to win this, actually, because I don't think he has an Oscar yet, and he's one of those actors that is very deserving of an Oscar. So I'm going to pick Sam Rockwell, but I would not be surprised if Richard Jenkins wins in this category. Actually, I wouldn't be surprised if any of these fine actors wins in that category. So it's a tough category to pick, but if I had money, I'd put it on Sam Rockwell or Richard Jenkins for The Shape of Water. All right, Best Actress, Sally Hawkins for The Shape of Water, Meryl Streep for The Post, Frances McDormand for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Margot Robbie for I, Tonya, and Saoirse Ronan for Lady Bird. Eric, what's your pick there?
I'm going to go with Sally Hawkins.
All right. Sally Hawkins. I think I'm going to pick Sally Hawkins as well. I would not be surprised.
She also did a good job in Hidden Figures.
Oh, Hidden Figures is a great movie. Octavia Spencer's was great in Hidden Figures. I would not be surprised if Meryl Streep or Margot Robbie won this award, to be honest with you. But I'm going to go with Sally Hawkins as well. Let's see what else we got here. Best Actor. Daniel Day-Lewis for Phantom Thread. Timothée Calumet for Call Me By Your Name. Daniel Kaluuya for Get Out. Denzel Washington for Roman J. Israel Esquire. And Gary Oldman, Darkest Hour. What would be your pick there, Eric?
Daniel Kaluuya is the main character, right?
What's that?
He's the main character, right?
Yes, Daniel Kaluuya. Yep.
Well, I haven't seen any of these other movies. And Gary Oldman as Winston Churchill is just weird. And hearing about what Winston Churchill is really like just makes me disgusted by Winston Churchill.
Yeah, but so, that shouldn't deter you from
picking. I know, but still, it's like he just looks weird as Churchill, so I can't really.
Yeah. Gary Oldman's piece of shit anyway. So I mean, he's actually, I think, is the front runner for this award. But I'm not going to pick
Gary Oldman. He'll probably get it then. Yeah. But I'd like to have Daniel Kaluuya.
I think Daniel Kaluuya's performance is worthy, but I don't think they're going to pick him. I think the Oscar this year for Best Actor is going to go to Daniel Day-Lewis just based on previous performance. But man, it's a really tough category.
Is Phantom Thread the movie about that guy who is like put stuff in like wove like different numbers and messages and stuff.
I
can't remember.
I don't know. I'm guessing. I know it's the latest Daniel Day-Lewis movie based on what Dungeon Buster in chat said, but I wouldn't be surprised if he wanted.
That's kind of funny that piece of shit, like Oldman's playing a piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. but Daniel Day-Lewis is probably one of the greatest actors ever. So that's really cool. All right, and the big one, the final one, Eric. Best Picture. We got Shape of Water, Darkest Hour, which is the Churchill movie with Oldman, Dunkirk, which is the World War II British side of things at the Battle of Dunkirk, Phantom Thread, which is that Daniel Day-Lewis movie, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Get Out, which is the horror movie directed by Jordan Peele, The Post, which, you know, I know it's a Spielberg
director. It's hard to vote for the ones I have seen.
Hold on. Call Me By Your Name, which is apparently a foreign movie. I've never seen that one. And Lady Bird. So of those, which one are you going to pick, Eric?
It's a toss-up between Get Out and The Shape of Water.
All right. So what, you got to pick one.
Probably The Shape of Water.
I'm also going to pick The Shape of Water.
I mean, as much as I like to Get Out, there are a couple issues I had with it.
Yeah. I'm also picking Shape of Water in this category, Eric. I think it would be a good thing if Shape of Water won Best Picture and Jordan Peele won Best Director. But, you know, who knows? I mean, I know Shape of Water was nominated for like 13 awards, so there could be that Academy syndrome.
I just don't see getting it anyway.
Yeah, I wished it would.
I'd like it too, but
yeah,
just spite me. I mean,
yeah, I know. I'm hoping for Get Out. I think it's got an outside shot of winning, but you know, Shape of Water, I heard is definitely worthy. All these films are probably worthy of a Best Picture nod. Picking the best one out of that is I'm glad I don't have that job right now at the Academy, because
they should
really
have Best
really
Picture
tough.
By genre. So that way, well, these choices wouldn't be so difficult.
Yeah, no, I like it this way. I just wish they would include more horror films. I think the last horror film to win the Academy Award for Best Picture was Silence of the Lambs. So it would be a surprising choice if they picked Get Out, but it would be worthy. Get Out is a great movie.
Well, they probably only picked it because it was historical.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, it's going to be interesting to – I don't think I'm going to watch them live, but it'll be interesting to see who wins this year, this weekend. But those are our picks, so we're sticking to them. Hopefully, you know, we get some of them right, or most
everybody
of them right.
In chat's talking comics.
Yeah, they're talking. They're like, yeah, they're talking the DC Universe shows.
They couldn't get enough Fantastic Four.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. I think that's about it, Eric. I don't have anything else, unless you want to talk about anything, Eric.
Nope.
All right, let's do our plugs and get the hell out of here. My voice is almost done anyways. What are your plugs this week, Eric?
I'm going to plug sites I've written for. You can find sites I've written for, like BostonBashBrigade.com, TotallyGN.com, VogueNetwork.com, AusGamers.com, and this week I've got I might have mentioned it last week, but the review, I think the last review I did on Boston Masquerade was Dynasty Warriors 9. You can see that train wreck of a review.
Ooh,
plus, yeah. I got not the review's not a train wreck, the game is a train wreck, you can see. Yeah. But, and then there's my reviews at TotallyGN.com, which have The Longest 5 Minutes and Summer Night 6.
Cool. Awesome. Summer Night games are good games, man. I like those games.
I don't think you'd like the strategy RPG ones, but maybe you would. I don't know.
No.
There's a lot of systems going on in the game, but it doesn't feel overwhelming because the game kind of eases you into it.
Yeah.
And it's pretty straightforward once you know what It's up.
Yeah. It's sort of like I was playing a little... Oh, that's another game I took...
It's like the game has like a weird mechanic, like how it handles like... Will you automatically defend when you're done with your turn, or will you set it to counterattack instead?
Yeah. All right, any other plugs, Eric?
There's my YouTube channel, Funny T-Man, and then you can find me on Twitter, EricRPG, and then there's my Patreon. Just look up Eric Kelly. You like the reviews I've written, just even a dollar would be fine.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man. Let's get Eric some
money. If you can give me a dollar, give me a dollar.
Yeah. All right. My plugs are as follows. Thanks to everybody in chat. Freak5Chaos was in there. Electrical Skateboard was in there for a second week in a row. I has yet to comment, Electrical Skateboard. I'd like to hear what you have to say. Of course, Wyland was in there. Dungeon Buster and Bridget was in chat. So thank you guys so much for joining the chat this week. Thank you so much to the archive listeners who are listening to us on YouTube and Twitch and, you know, iTunes and all that good fun stuff. Podbean and, you know, everywhere else out there in the internet verse. But thank you guys so much for listening. Send us your comments. Breakman will be back next week and we'll get to your comments and concerns and all that.
Of course, Jimmy Kimmel's hosting the 90th Academy Awards.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for joining this week. We really appreciate it. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at Frank Branches. You can follow my follow me on Xbox and on the PlayStation Network. RP Grinders is my tag name on there. So you know, capital R, capital P, and capital G. So make sure you add me as a friend on there. I'll add you for sure. And that's about it. I think that's all I got. Eric, anything else before we take off?
Have a good weekend.
All right. Yep. Have a good weekend. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week.
Oh, yeah. And if you get bit by radioactive beer, beer tap, then you become Pinter Man.
Pinter Man. That's awesome. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week, everybody. Until then, we are out. Later, guys. I didn't exile.